Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Jobs. Yes, that's right, it's me, chief executive of Apple Inc. I've got some big news this year, and I want the whole world to hear it. I quit. Yes, that's right, I'm resigning, effective immediately, and what's more, I'm shutting down all of Apple. Now, I know this comes as a surprise to some of you, but if you think about it, you'll see I really didn't have a choice. I mean, Vista's been performing so well, they've sold tens of dozens of copies. It was still clear to me that Leopard was just going to get lost in all of that wow. And then I got my iPod killer. The Zune. Look at this baby, huh? Brown. Now, I'm sure you'd agree that it's time for Apple to wave the white flag and concede defeat to the boys up in Redmond, Washington. And don't shed tears over the iPhone and all that other junk we talked about. Just carry those big brains of yours up out of the Mascarpone Center and go on home. You're no longer needed.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Derefon Elijah. Joining me today, his newfound love of bicycling is just a cover for his new real love, wearing spandex shorts. Leander Caney is here.
How did you guess?
I bet you look heck of good in those things, too.
No, I don't.
Also joining us, Tiger Beat Magazine calls him this year's cutest Apple reporter, Buster Khein.
What magazine?
Tiger Beat.
Tiger Beat?
Don't pretend like you don't know what Tiger Beat is.
Never heard of Tiger Beat, is it?
Sure, okay. It's that magazine that like tween girls buy that talks about like the cutest British pop stars.
All right, yeah, I've probably seen these.
I think Leander was in it not long ago.
Yeah, I was in my show. It's my slide best shows.
And my onesie. Cutest British editor. Just standing there in his Kangol hat and his bike shorts. Okay, well, as many of you probably surmised from the title of this week's episode, this is going to be our WWDC expectations episode, and we have got a lot to talk about. In fact, I'm not even sure we're going to be able to make it through all this shite on here. Because unlike WWDCs of recent years, we're actually expecting to see a decent amount of hardware released at this WWDC, and I'm actually kind of curious to see how they're going to jam pack all this crap into one show, because they have four operating systems now, right? And they got to talk about all those, and there's been almost no leaks. We don't know very much so far, and then they have to go through all the hardware. So we're going to talk about all that stuff, but before we jump into the fun, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace.com is where you should go if you need to set up a website for your business. Maybe you are a student with an art portfolio that you need to showcase online. Maybe you're a photographer and you just need to have an online presence. Squarespace has a comprehensive platform, and you can build a website for all of these various needs. And it's incredibly powerful, and yet it's also incredibly easy to use. Everything is drag and drop. You don't need to know how to code. And you can also customize everything if you'd like to dig in and change the colors, the fonts, the layouts. You can add social media. They have one of the easiest ways to build image galleries that I've ever seen. And I think one of the best parts about Squarespace is they make it so easy to use that you'll be able to update the website on your own. You won't need to hire a developer to help you tweak things. You won't need to hire anyone to help you update the content. They make it super simple to keep everything up to date yourself. And there is a fantastic e-commerce section that's included in your Squarespace subscription. If you'd like to open an e-commerce store, you can begin selling products. And they have all these back-end integrations with all these other applications that help you run your website better or send out email campaigns. Check it out at squarespace.com. You can sign up for a 2-week free trial, build a website, and if you like what you have, after the free trial, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout to save 10% off your order. And if you sign up for a year of service, you get an additional discount, plus you also get a free domain name at squarespace.com. And again, the code to use at checkout is CULTCAST. All right, actually, before we talk about what we're going to expect at WWDC here, Lander, you're making a trek down there in your bicycle gear and on your bicycle, right? And you'll be showing up to all the parties in your bike helmets, letting everyone know that you're a cyclist now. What are you going to be doing down there?
I'm probably going to be hanging out at Alt-WWDC and maybe at the Layers conference as well. These are two conferences that are going to be going on at the same time. I didn't get a ticket for WWDC, and you know, it's all very technical anyway. I mean, it's for programmers, so right. There's not a lot to really to report on. So they have Alt-WWDC. That's been running a couple of years now, and it's a free conference. And they usually have a really good roster of speakers, you know, people from the app development world, people in the Apple world who talk about, you know, all kinds of things, you know, podcasting, the developing apps, selling apps, marketing. There was all sorts of stuff. There were some quite interesting talks. There was one about morality and programming, you know, like how programmers can't do evil things, which I thought was kind of interesting. That was last year or 2 years ago. And that tends to get, you know, it's a weird show, you know, because WWDC, you know, like with the absence of Macworld, is like the big Apple gathering these days.
Right.
And they only sell 5,000 tickets. But, you know, there's a lot of people show up who don't have tickets and who want to come and mingle with, you know, people in the app development world. So they go to, there's a lot of parties. I'm going to go to parties every night, I think, next week.
Oh, yeah, we assume that.
I'll be hanging out with all my old buds. Looking forward to seeing Arnold Kim from Mac Rumors. He's like a party animal, and
really?
Making sure he's dragging me to every single event.
He's always trying to get you to do some of his meth. Some of his meth. He's like, come on, Leander. Don't be such a square.
I know, after I do a bunch of shots.
I really shouldn't. I've already had 60 shots tonight.
I know. Yeah.
Are you going to be boozing and schmoozing with any higher-ups, Leander? Are you going to be meeting with Johnny Ive or...
I don't know.
Tim
you know,
th-
those
about?
Guys don't... I've never run into them at any WWDC parties. I ran into Johnny Ive years ago at some of them, but this is a long, long time ago. I mean, this is like 15 years ago. So I haven't seen any of those guys recently. I know they do, like, they hang out at WWDC, and they hang out at the WWDC events. And they have here in San Francisco, they used to have a beer bash at the end of the week, and definitely those guys would go to that and take selfies with all the developers. But if you're not, you know, if you don't have a ticket, it's difficult. It's impossible to get into any of these things. So... you know, I don't know if we're going to be seeing them at this outside stuff. You know, these outside events. But you definitely get to meet a lot of, you know. I mean, it's funny that you know you meet a lot of the app developers, people in the Apple world. I mean, this is the big party of the year for.
It's
everybody.
Kind of a small group of people too, isn't it? I mean, there's not a lot of really popular app developers in the Apple world.
Yeah, I mean, there's some well known names, you know, and Gruber's, you know, like I was going to say Gruber and Marco Arment. Marco Arment's doing live. Podcast in front of a studio audience, like on Monday night, and Gruber's doing one sometime later in the week. I don't know when it is. You know, I was going to rattle off a few names, but I don't know if anyone would know them. But there's a few people that are well known in the Apple developer world, and there's companies for sure. You know, and it's a big deal now. You know, do you see the latest numbers? I mean, Apple is giving out you know, billions of dollars in revenues to app developers. So it's a pretty big business, a lot of big money. The WWDC I always thought was under, you know, it just by focusing on programmers doesn't really serve the whole app development community because there's a lot of people who do, you know, design, graphics, advertising, marketing. You know, none of that is really addressed. I always thought that Macworld, you know, instead of being a consumer show, should have become a pro show and moved to the same time as WWDC and hoovered up all those people that want to be, you know, come down here but don't really have an event for them. Anyway.
That's an interesting thought. You're right. It's very developer-focused. And yet there's an entire ecosystem of people that are involved in creating apps, creating products that really don't have any venue at all.
Right, exactly, yeah. And a lot of the developers, you know, like their biggest questions are always, you know, how do I get press? How do I get, you know, how do I do marketing? Because they might know how to write an app, but then getting people to pay attention to it, to get it sold, market it, you know, get it out there in the world. That's the hard part, really. You know, for a program, the easy part is writing the program. The hard part is making it successful as an app and as a business. You know, there's a lot of intricacies to that really I don't think is addressed at WWDC nor any other conference I can think of.
it's strange that as large as the Apple ecosystem is, that they're that WWDC, it feels so small, at least to me. There doesn't really seem to be that many people involved, considering what a large ecosystem it is.
Well, there is. But, you know, they've kept it at 5,000 tickets, and they've kept it at 5,000 tickets for a long, long time. I mean, it's always been a fairly small, you know, insular show. You remember when, before they did the lottery system, I mean, when it used to be like a free-for-all, I mean, it was selling out like in 10 minutes, then it was selling out like in 2 minutes, and then it was like, I think, 70 seconds. Yeah. The last time, that was like when, 3 years ago, Buster?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
And so now they do a lottery system, and I don't think they've released the numbers, but I'm, you know, I know for a fact that you know, they get a lot of people applying for tickets, and you know, only 5,000 get chosen.
That's why
AltConf
is doing so well, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like it was needed because all these people want to be involved. They want to come down and hang out and party and do some of Arnold Kim's blue meth, and there was no way for them to do that.
Right.
And AltConf is, they still call it AltConf, right? Wasn't there like some type of lawsuits?
Yeah, it was originally called AltWWDC, and I think Apple told them to stop calling it.
Oh, okay. So they just changed it to AltConf. Okay. Yeah. So. Alrighty, well, if you see a British guy with lots of swagger drinking beers and grabbing packages, you might have just spotted Leander Caney. Let's talk about what we expect. Buster, why don't you run us through everything?
I mean, it could be like, if everything, all the rumors are true, it could be like the most action-packed WWDC keynote in forever. Like software and lots of hardware rumors. Like first, you know, we're expecting iOS 11, the next Mac OS, new Watch OS 4, TV OS. And then on the hardware side, there's some rumors of new iPads, MacBooks, and possibly a Siri speaker.
What I find interesting about the software is we know almost nothing.
Right, yeah. There haven't been like many rumors at all for both iOS or Mac OS or any of it, really. All we've seen is like a bunch of mock-ups and people guessing like what might happen. It could be a pretty huge update if Apple's kept like big secrets of it, or I don't know, maybe it'll just be a big dud and just be like a bunch of refinements for iOS 11.
This is why we haven't heard any rumors, because it's so boring.
Yeah,
they actually didn't want anyone to find out about this stuff.
Well, does the software ever leak out?
Didn't it? Well, I think iOS 7, when it was a big redesign, that leaked out.
That did.
I remember
crazy.
There were some, not really screenshots, but some like renditions of based on like sources and what they said. This time,
right.
I don't think there's really been anything other than mock-ups.
And all the wish lists. Yeah, everyone's done a wish list, haven't they?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's going to be an exciting part of the show, I think. The software always makes your gadget feel new. I love getting new software and getting new features because you don't have to pay for it. It just makes you feel like you have a new device.
Yeah.
And then also, if you're part of the beta program, which if you're using an iPhone or an iPad, I don't know why you wouldn't be part of the beta program, like the public beta program, because you're getting software updates all the time and you get to try out the newest features first. And unlike a Mac, it's not like it ever breaks your phone. You don't ever have to worry about software incompatibilities.
I don't know. Sometimes it breaks apps. Like,
totally.
What app have you guys seen that was broken? I've never had an issue.
All kinds of different apps, like third-party apps. Like I've had like my camera apps or video games. They'll just crash because of the new update. There's something with it that makes it crash. So, I mean, there are... I wouldn't say like go full gung ho on it. I always usually wait until like the second or third beta, but it definitely is like awesome when it's, you know, clean and you're getting access to stuff that like makes it feel like you're getting a new phone a lot of times.
Man, I go full Caney as soon as they say there's a software update available. I'm like, update it, baby.
And then you read on Twitter that there's a big bug with it, and you're like, shit.
What was that, Leander?
Well, I stopped. I mean, email was a big one that stopped working for me like a few betas ago. Not recently. This is a few years ago, like 3 years ago. Maybe iOS 7. You know, it killed email. That was a huge problem.
Yeah.
Leander, you crack me up. You're so cavalier with the software updates. You're more cavalier than anyone I think I've met. Like, even with Cult of Mac, when there's software updates available for that, you're just like, oh, just hit update. It's going to be the middle of the day during peak time, right?
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
And you get, like, 8 million views a minute, and you're like, I don't care. What can go wrong? Let's just try it.
Yeah,
everything. And then everything crashes.
I can't resist, though. You know, it is exciting. I want to see that new stuff.
I know how you feel. I do, too. I'm with my Mac, though. I can't be so reckless. I got to make sure everything works.
Yeah.
So I can edit the show. Well, speaking of Mac, so, man, we have got so much stuff that we might see at this show. I really don't know if all this stuff ends up coming to fruition. I don't know how they're going to pack all this stuff into one show. Because, yeah, like Buster said, iOS 11, macOS, watchOS, tvOS, we know almost nothing. So they're going to have to spend a good amount of time on those. Mm-hmm. And then also, there's rumors of new MacBook Pros, a new MacBook, a new MacBook Air. There could possibly be a new iMac. There could be a new iPad. So let's just run through some of the stuff. Let's start with my personal favorite and the one that's going to cause the deepest amount of pain in my wallet once they announce this thing. MacBook Pro. So if it feels like they just updated the MacBook Pro, it's because they did. It was 7 months ago that we got a new MacBook Pro. And we are expecting that Apple is going to be releasing a new one. You can expect to see updated CPUs with Intel's current Kaby Lake processors, up to 32 gigabytes of desktop class RAM, which will be interesting because I think Phil Schiller said with the current MacBook Pro, the reason they didn't want to put that much RAM in is because it drains battery life. And so I wonder if Apple is going to just go with less battery life in these with larger RAM Macs, or if the Kaby Lake power efficiency is so much more efficient than the current Skylake processors that it's not going to make any difference. And then I was also reading that there might be a price slash for the 13-inch MacBook Pro without Touch Bar because it just hasn't been selling super well, per a report from everyone's favorite Apple analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo. So, new MacBook Pro. The big question is, and I know you guys are going to laugh, but I still think there's a chance, price drop on the MacBook Pro.
Oh, gosh.
No. If there's a price drop on the MacBook Pro, I'm going to rip my shirt off like Hulk Hogan.
I think there might be a price drop on like the MacBook, the Retina one, if they come out with a new one. But I don't think they really will.
You don't think they'll come out with a new MacBook?
Maybe not here. I think it makes sense to come out with MacBook Pros because it's a developer conference, so it makes sense to come out with developer machines. I think the Siri speaker, that makes sense too because they need early access for the SDK for it.
That's actually something that I had not really considered is the fact that they're going to have to release an SDK for any kind of Siri speaker that developers are going to need to integrate with.
Mm-hmm.
I never even thought that they would have app integration, but of course they would. Why wouldn't they? Right? They have app integration with everything else.
Yeah, if they want to be competitive with Google Home and Amazon Echo, you got to have a lot of third-party integration in it.
But what kind of apps would be useful on a smart speaker?
Like Uber, you know. You just tell the speaker, hey, Siri, send me an Uber or whatever. Okay. Stuff like that. Order me a pizza. I think all kinds of I don't have an Amazon Echo, but you guys do. So what kind of useful things do you do that are like third
party? Well, that's kind of my
Spotify
point. Is nothing's really that useful.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Well, come on. Amazon Echo just opened up to iCal this week, right?
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
If you learn how to use it, there's a ton of stuff that could be useful. And it would be really useful if it was tied into the whole Apple ecosystem. So if it knew your contacts, it knew what your calendar, knew what you were doing, you know, could tie into Apple Music so you can play music through it.
Yeah.
I mean, these things they're getting better. They're getting much, much better and more sophisticated. And if you learn how to use them properly, there's a lot of things you can do with them.
What would be amazing, and I don't think that they're going to include this kind of functionality up front, what would be amazing if you could use this Siri smart speaker to control other devices in your home. And we've talked about this in the past.
Home
like
kid,
if you could say,
you
know, Siri, wake my kids up tomorrow at 7 a.m. or something, and it would set alarms on your kids' iOS devices. That would be incredible.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Or Siri, send a picture of my naked butt cheeks to Buster Heine.
Okay, Verifone, bend over.
Which one? There are too many to choose from. Yeah, so I think stuff like that would be cool, but as far as order me a Domino's pizza, it just, I don't know.
There's a lot
really
of wishful thinking. Yeah, now people are saying like it's going to be like a Wi-Fi router and extender. and that it'll come like in a pack of three, so it'll be like a mesh network. You can put them all in different rooms of your house.
They're saying the Siri speaker is going to be a router now?
No, I mean, I just saw people speculating about that. They're okay. saying, like, wouldn't it be nice if it was like that? Like, so it was like these new mesh routers so that it would be... you know, so then it wouldn't be in just one room. It would be in all your rooms, so it would be easier to talk to the thing. It would also extend your Wi-Fi, and then it would also have HomeKit integration so that it would be easier to control all the devices in your house from anywhere.
I mean, that's totally different than all the rumors that we've seen up to this point, but right. I like that idea because you have these mesh devices in all the rooms of your house anyway. Why not have that additional functionality built in?
Right.
Well, if you didn't already see this in the Apple Store, the shipping times for the MacBook Pros have started to slip for the 15-inch model. And this seems to be happening in Apple Stores all over the world. The UK, Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Hong Kong, all the major markets. So this is another good indicator that we are indeed going to see new MacBook Pros at WWDC. I'm just going to throw this out there. If they do release this, do you think that this is going to be anything more than just a general spec update buster, like just maybe like a CPU and some RAM and that's it? Do you think there's any chance they'll add any additional functionality or maybe some USB-A ports?
I think it's just going to be internal upgrades with a internal, you know, a better processor, which is what they should have launched it with.
Better processor, more RAM.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also a chance that they will update the MacBook. As Buster mentioned, the MacBook has not been updated in over a year, so now would definitely be a good time. And then there's a rumor about the MacBook Air, which this sounds like it actually might happen. Bloomberg reported earlier in May that Apple is considering updating the MacBook Pro with a newer processor because of the sales of that machine have continued to be surprisingly strong. Who knows what processor it will get, if any, or if it will get any other upgrades like USB-C or a new display. We don't really know. I love the MacBook Air. I hope they keep it going and just upgrade the specs. I think that would be fine. It would be great if they also gave it a Retina display, but then at that point, why would they have a MacBook Air and a MacBook? You're literally looking at the exact same computer, except one has the butterfly mechanism keyboard and one has the normal mechanism keyboard. So that wouldn't really make any sense. And then... there is also a chance of seeing a new iMac at WWDC. So Apple announced earlier this year, you guys probably recall, that they are hard at work on new pro-level desktop machines. You probably won't see anything about the Mac Mini or the Mac Pro at WWDC because Apple said they're still working on the Mac Pro. It's still in development. And they also just gave a spec bump to the current Mac Pro. So you probably won't see a Mac Pro, but... the iMac hasn't been updated in a long-ass time. 2015 is the last time those were updated. So it's time to at least get a CPU bump and maybe a bump in some other specs and at least just release those so that people have current hardware in those machines. And then there's the iPads, Buster.
Oh, yeah. iPads.
So what do you think is going to happen with these?
Let's see. I mean, I don't think the 12.9 inch is going to go away, but I think possibly the 10.5 will be like the coolest one, you know, because it's going to have slimmer bezels, so it's more portable. Will probably be just as powerful as the 12.9. I really hope Apple does come out with it at WWDC, but I also kind of find that hard to believe because it would probably have some type of tech that's going to be used in the iPhone 8. And I just feel like Apple won't unveil a new iPad before it unveils stuff for the new iPhone. I don't know.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. There was a report from Ming-Chi Kuo that said Apple may release the iPad Pro at WWDC. But just like what you said, and we've talked about this before on the show, if they make it look like the iPhone 8 or if it's using... a design language that's going to be similar to the iPhone 8, it would be very strange for them to release that design language now before the iPhone 8 was released, since the iPhone is going to be their flagship device. So either the iPad is not going to look like the iPhone 8 and they release it, or they're going to release it, you know, in September or October or something after the new iPhone has been revealed to the world. If they did do all this hardware, if they did do all this software, I mean, I don't know how the hell they're going to jam-pack this. I know I've said this like four times now, because it truly is. I can't comprehend them going and doing like a 2-hour show and fitting all of this stuff in.
Yeah, they usually run out of time just going over the software. They haven't unveiled new hardware at WWDC since I think 2013 or something like that. It's been a few years.
Which leads me to believe that if they do all this hardware, it's going to be just spec bumps. Hey, these things have been updated. Bing, bong, boom. All right, now let's talk about, you know, watchOS for the next, you know, 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Speaking of watchOS, do you guys have any software wish list items that you want to talk about and hope that Apple will reveal on stage?
On iOS?
On macOS.
Or
iOS.
You know, they're making it more, they're blending them together, aren't they? iOS is becoming more like macOS, and macOS is becoming more like iOS.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're just going to flip. The polls are going to totally reverse. Right. And iOS will be macOS, and macOS will be iOS.
Right, and you know where you are, yeah.
And you're going to want your computer to be smaller and your phone to be larger until eventually they take each other's place.
Well, there was a lot of talk about, you know, when are they going to add, LTE connections to the Mac.
Yeah.
And if so, you know, then maybe you get some, they got a new version of that that data app out. What's it called? The one that we all downloaded but none of us use.
You mean a VPN?
Trip. No, it's, what's it called?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Trip mode.
I uninstalled that almost immediately. I was having so many problems with it.
Oh, people love it. And, we should explain. Trip mode is a way of controlling your your data connection on your Mac so that it will stop. If you're doing something like a podcast and you want to prioritize the data to, for the podcast, you can stop it downloading. Stop all the background data downloading in the background, and this new version allows you to set up different profiles. You know, so if you're doing a podcast, it'll stop everything except, you know, say your browser, and if you're working at a cafe and you want to be able to download email and do a little bit of surfing, you can have a profile for that too. And this, of course, would be really useful if they brought LTE to macOS to laptops to MacBooks. So that you could have more control over how much data was being downloaded by your machine.
You know why I'm not excited about LTE on the Mac? Is
why?
Because it's just another opportunity for your mobile carrier
to
bend
you over.
Yeah, and charge you a quote-unquote data access fee to pay them more money to access the data that you're already paying to access. And I can't do it, Leander.
Yeah. Well, you know,
$10 a month.
Maybe T-Mobile would step up and give you a nice, unlimited data plan. Or make it part of your current data plan.
If T-Mobile came out with a data plan that was fairly priced and they said, hey, look, we're going to give you 10 gigabytes a month. We don't care how many devices access it. That would be revolutionary. I would leave my carrier to do that.
Yeah, we'll see. This is all moot. I don't think they're going to do it anyway. So.
Yeah, because they've been rumored that, like, this has been rumored for, I feel like 5 years or so.
Well, aren't some of the Microsoft, Microsoft's doing this, right?
I think the new Surface, the Surface Pro or whatever they unveiled, I think that one does come with an option for LTE.
Right.
Which, and the iPad Pro also comes with an LTE option too, so it's... Maybe that's the only version that they're going to do for a portable.
Well, right. It's funny they've been doing this on iOS, but you can't do it on the Mac.
Yeah.
Well, let me talk about this last story here. If you had any doubt within you that we're going to see new hardware at WWDC, I'm about to stomp on that right now. Apple has registered a bunch of new products with the Eurasian Economic Commission ahead of WWDC. In its filings, it hints at the imminent arrival of new Macs, iPads, and a refreshed Magic Keyboard, perhaps with Touch Bar. The company has registered 5 new Macs with the EEC. Another 4 of the model numbers it filed are associated with iOS. And these could possibly be iPad Pros, maybe even the new 10.5-inch model. And finally, there was a model number that points to a wireless keyboard. And it has been about 19 months since Apple introduced the original Magic Keyboard, so we could see a refreshed model. If they did a refreshed Magic Keyboard, I would think that they would have to add a touch bar to it to keep the magic there.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Leander?
Right. That's a good point, yeah. Where's the magic going to come from? Yeah, a touch bar would be great, I think.
What was that?
It would be great, a touch bar. Sorry, excuse me. I lost my voice. Wow, what happened
That's
there?
How you know the meth kicked in. Oh, my goodness.
Blue eyes, right.
Where am I?
Anne's blue eyes.
Let me ask you a honest question here, sincere question, Leander. How often do you use the Touch Bar on your MacBook Pro?
Well, you know, I don't use the MacBook Pro that much. It just sits there charging.
What a travesty.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be using it next week, so come back to me next week. You know, I'll be using it all next week at WWDC down in San Jose. So I'll have an answer for you there. You know, because I use an iPad at home, and I use my iPhone when I'm out and about, and I use my iMac here at work. And so, to be honest, yeah, you know, the one neglected machine in my little collection is the MacBook Pro.
For people listening, I'm genuinely curious, because I still have an old Mac and obviously don't have the Touch Bar. If you have a Touch Bar on your MacBook Pro, are you using it? Is it something that you find to be useful? And if you are using it, how are you using it? What apps are you using it in? And how does it make your computing experience better than previous Macs? I would love to know that. Tweet me at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, because I'm still not sure. I still can't say for sure. Is the Touch Bar a useful feature? I don't think I would call it a gimmick, because I think clearly it has a lot of utility, even though it may not have that utility yet. It may be something that develops utility in the future. But I'm just not completely sold on it yet, and I wonder if it's something that people end up just forgetting about after they buy the new MacBook Pro. And it kind of goes along the same lines of Force Touch, you know? Like, I just kind of wonder how many people out there are actually using Force Touch, which was such a huge feature that Apple worked so long and hard on. And I could say confidently, even without asking you guys, you probably never use Force Touch. Am I right?
I use it for a couple of things, yeah.
Like what?
Pulling up, phone calls. Pulling up, you know, shortcuts for phone calls.
Mm. Oh, that is kind of handy, isn't it? What about you, Buster?
Force Touch on the Mac Pro?
No. Force Touch on the
iPhone.
On the iPhone.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I use it. Like the cursor one's probably like the most useful one. Also, like to pull up the low battery mode whenever I want it. I use that a lot on the settings app.
How do you do the low battery mode?
Oh, you just like Force Touch on the settings app. It's got the battery option.
You know what's funny is
I think you might have to start reading this site called Cult of Mac that gives you little tips about stuff like that.
You know what's funny is I'm running the beta of iOS, and it never occurred to me that I should be checking more regularly with Force Touch, because I clearly haven't used it in a while, and I just pressed on some of these. I'm like, oh yeah, some of these actually might be relatively good shortcuts to access. Yeah, so I need to play around with it. Oh, so you guys actually are using it for some stuff here and there.
Yeah,
well, but nowhere near its potential. You know, like only for a couple of things. Like basically the phone calls is basically all I use it for.
But, I mean, even if it makes one app easier to use or a couple apps easier to use, I think that's a win.
Right,
I mean, that definitely, if it makes it easier for you to do your computing and whatever, what have you. Okay, so before we wrap up here, Leander, tell us what Cult of Mac is going to be doing to help people follow what's going on with the news at WWDC. Because there's going to be a lot of stuff to sift through, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff. Yeah, well, we're going to be, it's all hands on deck on Monday. So we're going to have a live blog for the keynote starting at, what time is it, Buster?
10 a.m. Pacific.
Right. So we'll be blasting all the news. Then we'll have a wrap up. You know, we'll have a bunch of posts, like all the important news. We'll summarize all that, tell people what's important, what's not. We have a really interesting experiment. We have a guy called Andy McNally. He's an illustrator and a web developer. He's going to be doing sketch notes of WWDC sessions, and he did this last year. Sketch notes are a way of visual note taking. So you take, if you're listening to something like the keynote and you're taking notes about what Tim Cook is talking about, what they're announcing, he'll also add little illustrations to it. And it's a really good way that people, that's becoming really, really popular. Like there's quite a movement around it for people to use these techniques to help remember. It's really good for, you know, helping you like a memory aid. So it's really good for helping things stick in your mind. And he's going to be doing sketch notes of the keynote on Monday, and then also some of the sessions throughout the week. So we'll be posting those up. We posted some last year, and they were really popular. A lot of people really liked them. Apple went, you know, was retweeting them, some Apple accounts, and he got some really good feedback from some of the people at Apple as well about how they liked his notes and what a good job he did recording, you know, what was told during the sessions. And he actually has a little, we have an article up on the site right now where he gives you some tips. So if you want to look at, get into sketchnoting yourself, if you're in class or you're going to go to a conference or, you know, in meetings, it's really good for meetings. It's not doodling, it's drawing, and it's like a memory aid. So it helps you remember stuff that people say. And he has some tips for doing how to get started with sketch notes and how to learn how to do them to help you remember stuff. So
we can put that in the show notes, Leander.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that.
And we are actually going to be releasing the show early next week. I'm not exactly sure if it's going to be coming out Tuesday, possibly Wednesday, but I'm shooting for Tuesday. I'm actually going on vacation next week, so if you see a super tan, super handsome guy in really small European swimwear on the beach in Florida, you might be looking at me. Come say hi. Just come give me a big bear hug. Don't even bother saying hi to me, and you can hope that it's actually me. the show will be coming out either Tuesday or Wednesday. And I just had the best idea, Leander. You know how amazing it would be if we did a ASMR live show of the keynote? And when Tim Cook's whispering, like releasing the newest MacBook Pro, we could be like, wow, that's really exciting. I could barely contain myself.
I'd listen to that.
Yeah, you would. Except you'd be getting aroused to make it through the entire keynote. Yeah,
put everyone else to sleep.
That new touch bar looks absolutely incredible. Okay, well, that's it. That's all we have for you guys this week. We'll be back next week, of course, to give you our first impressions of all the shizzle Apple is going to bring out in a giant wheelbarrow onto the stage and dump onto the ground and let us sort through. It's going to be an exciting week next week. It's going to be like Christmas in June. It's going to be great. But for now, that's all the cool cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what you expect at WWDC, come say hi to us on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, Leander's L, Kenny Busters, B-S-T-3-R. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys. Ooh, Alina, we gotta get a sexy ASMR next time.
Next time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this kind of thing.
Next time.
It is oddly satisfying. Next time.
Oh, and some crinkling papers.
Buster, can you rub your beard against the mic for me?
I don't think so.
Sure. Oh, I hear it. Oh, I hear it, bro. Okay. All right. Let's do some clapping. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Every time we do that, I just, in my mind, picture slapping on a big old rump. You guys?
Oh, no.
And after I hit it, it just goes. It's like a music video.
Right.
Don't tell me I'm the only one. I know. Leander, I know.
No, you are the only one. I never thought of that ever until you just put it into my head.
Yeah, right.